Timothy? Timothy, did you hear that music? Wasn't it beautiful? Do you know where we put those scrolls? Oh, there they are. Oh, thankfully. I must write to dear friends. It's been so long since I've seen them. I wonder how they're doing. These chains just get in the way. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share with me in God's grace. God can testify that I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more, so that you are able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Now, I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more boldly and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of envy and selfish ambition. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your joy and progress in the faith. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to those of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider it robbery. But made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Amen. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become children of God without fault in a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you should be glad with me. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, so that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, for he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to provide the help you could not give me. Rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may know Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, being made like him in his death, and somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or am already perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brethren, I do not yet consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with those in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. I have often said it before, and I say it now again, even with tears, some live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. And you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned but had no opportunity to share it. I do not say this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content in every circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, from the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, When I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. I'm not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to the Lord. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. All the saints in Christ Jesus greet you. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. All the saints send greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. My friends, if you'll permit me to step from the first century to the 21st century, I'd like for us to reflect just for a few moments on words that the great apostle shared. Children, I hope you heard the word joy or rejoicing as you were taking note. If there is anything that shines out of that book, it is an ebullient joy. From the Lord Jesus, because he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, in connection with what Art shared this morning, there is nothing like the joy that comes from knowing Jesus. Amen. Nothing. Throughout this book, it is an ebullient joy. And he implores us to rejoice in the Lord. There is an appeal for unity, directed even at two specific individuals, but always to set aside our own interests, to put aside looking after number one and looking about those that are part of God's body. There is an appeal for unity. In fact, if you count the word that many times that all is used, and I counted it in the King James Version, 26 times, he's extremely inclusive. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. There is a deep love for the believers that is there and a deep loyalty to Christ. There is the theme of sacrifice and giving and sharing. And that is a part of the very character of God. I want to tell you, what happened on Calvary did not happen as a one-time thing. It was just where we saw it most clearly, because God is a giving God, extremely generous. And I chose to share this with you, with this, my dear church, because how Paul felt about the Philippians is how I feel about you. There is another theme that is there, and Paul looks with eagerness to the resurrection. He knows what is ahead for him. He knows that there is an execution ahead, and he says, and even if I am being poured out like a drink offering, you know, the drink offering was what was lost, so to speak, in the offering. It kind of disappeared, as if it were not there. And Paul says, that's okay. Even if I'm poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Daily, our lives should be poured out in blessing to others from the cup that we have the cup that has been filled in our walk with Christ. The theme of the resurrection. While I was in this church, by my best calculations, I held some 200 funerals. When you state it in that way, it's scary. It's a good thing I moved away. But I want to tell you, the dear saints who are sleeping, awaiting Christ coming, is one of the reasons I want to be faithful. Amen. I want to see them again. I think of Wilfred and James Finner, and I could just go down the list of dear people who spent their lives serving this church. Brother Horner, we must be faithful that we too are there on that glorious day. Amen. We cannot, whatever this world offers, we cannot be absent on that homecoming. As Paul said, I consider them all loss. For the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, there isn't a thing you have or will ever own that will be worth missing that day. And so I say to you, my friends, my beloved, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, and may we meet, if no other time on this earth, on that day when Christ comes. Let's bow our heads. God, you are faithful, and every promise you have made, you will fulfill. We trust you, O Lord. And this morning, I'm asking my brothers and sisters, my dear friends, my family here, to commit with me to be looking for your coming as we eagerly await a Savior. Thank you for that hope. And we know that all who put their hope in you will not be disappointed. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.